Yo, it's Mr. Lover Lover, and I'm here with Barbecue Bob. Let him know that that jerk sauce is off the chain. You dig that? Yeah, that steak is off the chain. Yeah, and I don't even eat meat, but I'm eating it today. Because that what? That sauce is crazy.
That sauce is crazy. We just had Drew McLean from Bear Boy Gourmet in, and I tell you what, he's got three or four different kinds of rubs there that you got to give this a try. These are good things. We were just taste testing those when we were on the break here, and that is good stuff. You're listening to The Grilling Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM. I'm Jop, he's Bob, and we have another Bob in the studio with us who is a... what I would call an expert. He's been in the meat and fish business for about 30 years. And I asked him a question and cut him off earlier in a segment. I want to pick this back up. We want to talk about which steak, but we also want to talk about the grading of the steaks as well as which one to pick out when I'm in the window. So why don't we pick that up where we left off?
Sure, Jop. There's three different grades of beef that you want to be aware of. And you picture a pyramid. At the top of that pyramid is going to be your prime beef, and it's at the top because it's the best, and there's limited supply of it. And then as you go below that, you're going to have choice, and then the bottom of the pyramid is going to be select, and there's a lot of select meat available. You know, there's quite a bit of choice, and once again, limited supply of prime. So when you go to a supermarket, you want to be aware of what you're buying, because your prime, your choice, they're going to eat better than select.
Okay.
And select is going to be really, really lean, where your prime is going to be heavily marbled, heavily white flecks of fat throughout that steak. That's what makes it prime. It's fed so that it's going to be heavily marbled, which gives it more flavor and more juiciness. And your choice is going to be a medium marbled piece.
Not a lot of places. I mean, it's a small percentage of the beef that's on the market that is actually prime. As you said, it's at the top of the pyramid. There aren't a lot of places that actually carry that, are there?
No, there aren't. It's a higher-end piece of meat, but you can find it. Meijer carries it over at Cascade, you know, in their flagship stores. You can find prime there, but like you said, it's not everywhere.
Okay, I bought an end cap meat at a Meijer store, the one out in Lowell where I live, and it was, I'm gonna say, $6.99 or $7.99. I saw it on sale, and I always check out the end caps. I'm always looking for the deals, right? So I'm leery of steaks in end cap, because you just never know, you know, what how good a deal it is if in an end cap. You know, it's generally, I don't know, I'm just a suspicious meat shopper. Anytime I'm buying meat and it's on sale, I really scrutinize it. I looked at these. They were strips. They were an inch and a half thick. They were gorgeous. They were so marbled. I'm going like $6.99. It was in Meijer, and I took them to Cleveland, grilled them for my biggest dealer. And I'll tell you what, the guy was moaning. I threw him on my tech with a little olive oil.
Good or bad?
They were phenomenal.
Okay, just checking.
He was going nuts. This guy can eat some meat. And I think that was probably about the best value in a steak I've seen in a long time at that price. And it was a strip. Tell us about that strip.
Well, that strip is a great piece of meat, and I love the Lowell store, too, because they cut them nice and thick. You know, you're talking an inch and a half thick, and they're going to cook well on the grill when they're that thick. But that strip actually comes, if you picture a T-bone, or let's say a porterhouse. Picture a porterhouse, and it's got the bone in it, the T-shaped bone. If you pull that bone out, the top piece is going to be the strip, and the bottom piece is going to be your porterhouse. So if you buy the bottom piece is going to be your tenderloin. So if you buy a porterhouse, you really get a strip and a tenderloin and the same steak. But when you look at a strip or a T-bone or a porterhouse or a ribeye, you want to look for marbling. Marbling is the key. It's going to tell you how tender it's going to be and how juicy it's going to be. So when you look at it, marbling is the white flakes that are intermingled throughout the redness of the meat. And when you look at that marbling, you want to have fine flecks. If you see real coarse flecks of fat or marbling, it's not going to eat as well. You want to look for a lot of fine flecks throughout it. The more fine flecks you have, the better that steak is going to eat. So that's really the key to picking out a nice tender steak.
So that answers that question mm-hmm. that we had, and that yes. is, okay, I've made the decision. I've walked up to the window. It's a special occasion. I know, Bob, you said it's your wife's birthday today. And so you want to grill a really nice steak and make it a nice special occasion. So you've made the decision to go with the T-bone or the porterhouse. I prefer the steaks with the bone in. I believe it adds flavor. So let's say we chose that porterhouse. Now the butcher has pulled out the rack. It's a long, narrow tray, and there's maybe 30 steaks on there. What you just said is the answer to my question, I believe, and that is look for that one with the little white flecks all throughout it, not big chunks of it, not hunks of fat on the edge. A little bit of that will be good. You might trim that away even because that flares up on your grill sometimes. But the real answer is it's the flex, the marbling in the meat is going to be the better tasting steak of the 10 that are on the tray. They're probably all pretty close, but there's got to be one that's a little different than the other when you're looking, right?
Correct. They're all going to be pretty close. Sometimes they're all going to be cut from the same short loin, if you will. It's the big piece that the steaks are cut from. So in that situation, they're all going to be pretty close, but sometimes you've got steaks from different loins that could be intermingled into that pan or into that end cap, especially in an end cap. You know, you've got to look and find the ones with the smaller, slight flex of marbling.
And there was
throughout.
Some variation in those
You'll
strips.
You'll see that, especially in
but
an end cap.
But most of them looked really good. I had a great selection, so I was like, Gosh, they all look like this has got to be a nice cut. And it just said strip, and I was kind of thinking New York strip, but it looked too marbled to be a New York strip. It was gorgeous.
Is there a difference, Bob? I mean, is there a strip and a New York strip?
No, it's the same cut of meat.
That's what I thought too.
So you get a little variation from time to time by retailer on what they call their meat or their particular cuts, and that's something we should probably explore too, because everybody can see a T-bone's a T-bone. Right? But some people call flank steak, others call it flat iron. Are those the same? I mean, we see those,
no.
Or are they different?
No.
They are different.
Okay.
excuse me. Yeah, flank steak is totally different than a flat iron.
Okay.
You know, a flat iron, it comes from the chuck.
Comes from the chuck.
Flank steak comes from, you know, kind of the inner flank of the cattle.
Belly meat.
And there's only two flank steaks per cow.
Okay.
You know, so that is a different piece of meat.
And that is very much a favorite in Mexican dishes. Flank is huge in Mexican cuisine. So I think sometime this week there'll be a lot of nervous cows with Cinco de Mayo.
No, I think you're right.
Well, Bob, it's great having your expertise around here, and I'm going to take you up on that offer. I'm going to meet you tonight at the Century Post because we're not even going to talk work, but we're going to be with Jeff Fuller from Westside Beer Distributing. I'm going to have like one of the smartest meat guys and one of the smartest beer guys. I'm just going to just
soak it in.
Build a show.
Soak it in.
I won't remember a bit.
Bob, you were out on the road this last week working on an apple cranberry stuffed pork loin. You were describing that to me. You said you made that for one of your dealers.
We did. And, we did a gourmet grilling class in one of the places that we stopped, I think in Dansville. It was a cool recipe, and it real quickly, I'll go through it, but it's an apple cranberry stuffed pork roast. So basically what you do is you do a double butterfly on a loin, which means you butterfly it, and then you fold it, and you do another butterfly open up again. So you kind of want it to cut into a spiral cross-section, if you will. Look up double butterfly online if you want the technique. But you get a cup of apple cider, a half cup of cider vinegar, a three-quarter cup brown sugar, some shallots, some dried apples. Now, this is the part. You get a cup and a half of dried apples, and you just buy them that way. Half cup of dried cranberries, of course. Assume
you buy those that way, too.
But, I mean, I've never bought dried apples. I had to look these things up. I've never even thought of purchasing dried apples. They sell them.
Right.
And the recipe calls for this, and there's a method to the madness. But ginger, mustard seed, allspice, cayenne, you throw all this into a pot, the herbal blends and the fruits, and you bring it to a simmer, and you're going to simmer it for a few minutes maybe, and bring her down to a low simmer for about, 20 minutes. Then you strain all the juice out, and you take that filling, and you kind of lightly pulse it in a blender, and you spread it in that inside of that butterfly, and you roll it back up, you tie it, and you throw it in the oven, smoker, grill, however you're going to cook it, and you're going to cook that thing for
depending on your method, at least an hour and a half.
Yeah, you're going to get the internal temperature up there to about what?
150.
Right, right, exactly.
And you do a cross-sectional cut on it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. I saw a picture of it. You had texted
online.
Me. Yeah, and we'll put the recipe on thegrillingguys.com. Coming up, we're going to bring the train to the station. We're going to talk about some barbecue classes we got going on, where we're going to be around town, a little bit more about the Grilling Club. Stick with us. We're the Grilling Guys. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.